Thanks for writing that. No, I'm just kidding. So I don't let her write. She'd probably do a better job than I do. Amen. Oh, my.
Oh, yeah, she does a good at everything.
What?
Oh, I get that a lot. Normally followed by, he's so cute, but she didn't go that far. I hear somebody over there. Ooh, crunchy mic.
No, don't eat the microphone. His favorite thing to do is try to eat the microphone.
Yeah, it goes. Yeah, it's great.
So, Shep.
Yes?
What are you doing here?
In church. Everybody should have a dog.
Yes, but not everybody should have a dog in church.
Yeah, I thought about that.
Yeah, and?
And?
So?
So?
Stop repeating me.
Stop.
Thank you.
He's special. That's how I get into churches. Because everybody special has to have a special kind of dog to take care of them.
Really? That is so not nice.
Yeah, I'm just being real. God was sitting back there, I heard it. That's why I don't like fake dog food. I like real dog food, real water.
Okay, man, how in the world do you get this stuff out of what I'm preaching?
I don't listen real good.
Yeah, that, I believe that. I believe that. You know, we don't have a lot of time.
Yeah, I do. I'll never die.
Yeah, well, we don't have a lot of time tonight. And I'm glad you came out to see me, but this isn't a VBS.
Oh, man.
I know. You're disappointed.
It's not a youth camp. I can tell by looking at the ages and...
Stop.
Is it a grown-up camp?
No.
Of course not. Guy don't belong in a grown-up camp.
Stop. Wow. You know, you really should get something done with your fur and... Yeah.
I'm a sheepdog, I am.
Yes, I know. But it's not a camp, so we really need to let you go home and do something besides bother people tonight.
No, I'm not a bother.
Well, then how do you know? Did you ask him?
Nope. Not going to either. You know what I'm fixing to do?
What?
Get transferred.
Okay, you're leaving, aren't you? That's terrible. That's just terrible. But yet you're laughing at it, so it must have worked. Okay. It's funny because sometimes I have more adults that want to see my puppets than kids. And I was doing a revival out in Joplin one year, and we had several kids. Then one night I didn't see any kids, and so I didn't get any out. And then the next night I got ribbed about it. And so we love to use puppets and sometimes I've actually been known to teach Sunday school with a puppet in one hand and the Bible in the other, and it just depends on what the Lord has for you and what the age group is. Well, we talked this morning about being real, and it's very important. But then there was something else that was on my mind. You know, I wanted to preach on revival. But revival is just being real, is it not? Is it not walking with God and staying in the Word and praying and being the kind of Christian testimony that we're supposed to be, right? It's not a week-long meeting. It's not a three-day meeting. It is a consistent life of letting God have control. That's revival. So, that being said, I was thinking along... Go to Ezekiel. I was thinking along these lines. And... you know, Ezekiel 14. A lot of times there's things in the Old Testament that is there for an example. A lot of it that has to do with the Old Testament law and such things as that is not really transferable over to the local New Testament church because of Jesus Christ. And thank God for that. Otherwise, you all have to bring a sheep or a dove or, you know, we'd have sacrifices. Could you imagine what church would be like in the Old Testament for us? Right? I mean, and then I like bacon, so I'm out because the Jews won't eat bacon. And so, but no, seriously, you know, we might get a little upset because, well, we got to be at church at such and so time, and we've got to do this and we've got to do that. Can you imagine going back to the way it used to be before Jesus came? Brother Guy, that, talk about being dedicated to something. And we know from the New Testament that the blood of animals did not take away sin. If it was like, it was kind of like a promissory note, okay? It wasn't the payment, but it was us, it was Jesus, you know about it, the Passover, and the Passover in the Old Testament when the blood was applied to the doorposts and how that the angel would come and pass over if you had the blood on the door. And there's lots and lots of symbols and pictures and that would point to the coming Messiah. So in that are great examples of what Jesus was coming to do. And here is an example I want you to look at and think about. This Bible I showed to Brother Guy earlier, I bought it in August and it still smells like new leather. I absolutely love a new Bible. It takes me a little while to start marking in it and stuff, you know. I don't want to do that. But that being said, I was just flipping through here, reading it, because it's a smaller print. Anybody remember the Bible I brought last year when I was here? That was like twice the thickness of this one. And that thing gets heavy. But I was just flipping through, being glad that my prescription reader glasses, my bifocals, you know, work well enough that I don't have to carry a great big Bible. And I was just browsing through, reading stuff just to read it. And I came across this, and I want to share it with you in Ezekiel chapter 14. Are you there? Amen. Amen. Then came certain of the elders of Israel unto me and set before me. And the word of the Lord came unto me, saying, Son of man, these men have set up their idols in their heart and put the stumbling block of their iniquity before their face. Should I be inquired of all, should I be inquired of at all by them? Amen. Therefore speak unto them and say unto them, Thus saith the Lord God, every man of the house of Israel that setteth up his idols in his heart and putteth the stumbling block of his iniquity before his face and cometh to the prophet, I, the Lord, will answer him that cometh according to the multitude of his idols, that I may take the house of Israel in their own heart, because they are all estranged from me through their idols. Therefore, say unto the house of Israel, Thus saith the Lord God, Repent and turn yourselves from your idols, and turn away your faces from all your abominations. For every one of the house of Israel, or of the stranger that sojourneth in Israel, which separateth himself from me, and setteth up his idol in his heart, and putteth the stumbling block of his iniquity before his face, and cometh to a prophet to inquire of him concerning me, I, the Lord, will answer him by myself. And I will set my face against that man, and will make him a sign and a proverb, and I will cut him off from the midst of my people, and ye shall know that I am the Lord. Heavenly Father, help me tonight. We thank you for the many, many blessings of your word. And Lord, help me to take what's in my heart and be able to share, Lord, in an understanding manner, not taking anything out of context or from the word that's not supposed to be there. Lord, it's so important to me to share your word, because if I'm sharing anything but that, it's not yours. And I love you. In Jesus' name I ask for help. Amen. So here is Ezekiel, and it's Old Testament. Immediately you might be thinking, Brother Cooper, what does this have to do with us in the New Testament? Well, you know, I've been thinking and looking, and you know what I discovered? That God gives us examples. Do you think he just needed to fill in some pages here? And just, well, I just didn't have enough to make enough. No. No. You know, when I first read that, I began to think about how Israel would create the groves, you remember, in the high places, and some of the kings would destroy some of it, and then another king would come in and build it back up, and there was places of quote-unquote worship. That's in air quotes in case you're on the air or listening and not watching the videos. And the facts of the matter are, that kind of worship was not what God wanted, and it wasn't to God, and it wasn't for God. Those were the idols of Israel. But when I read this, God is talking to the prophet about some men in Israel, and he didn't say that they have something set up in their backyard. He didn't say that they had something set up on some high place. He said, hey, they've turned away from me, and they have set up their idols where? In their hearts. Now, friend, I don't believe God put anything in here to fill it in as fluff, as we call it. You know, some people write a book and you could have just stopped me, brother. I hear myself through the speaker, and so it sounds like I'm already on. Are we there yet? Are you green? Okay, hold on while we recycle. Is it on? Okay. Apologize, folks. I can hear an echo, so it sounds like I'm on. I think it's just this mic here. Anyway, where were we? Well, we were talking about idols and idols of the heart, and I began to think about how many things that the children of Israel got entangled in out in their normal day-to-day. I mean, I was thinking about that calf, you know, the one that Aaron said he just threw something in the fire, and poof, there came this calf. Oh, yeah, I'm not buying that story. You know what? He lied. He lied. And Moses knew it, and God knew it, and anybody else that heard him say it knew it. But that's all on the outward, right? And God said, there's some men in Israel that set up some idols in their heart. I began to think about my own heart. Whatsoever is not of faith is what? Whatsoever is not of faith is what? Thank you. It's sin. See, I personally believe that there's sins I don't even know that I do that grieves God. And then there's sins I know that I shouldn't do that I know makes God sad, and I do them anyway. Now, this context is telling us this about these people. But immediately I found myself with these three questions that I had to answer. What was my heart meditating on? What is going on in my heart? Is it the house that my wife and I just bought in March? Am I so enthralled in ministry and music that I forget and I put that in place of where God's supposed to be? Is there any idols that I've set up in my heart? Say, well, this is Old Testament. Well, you know, I know that. And we'll get into a New Testament in just a second. Because I want you to see this now. 1 John chapter 5. I like to hear pages turning. It means you're not sleeping. Amen. 1 John chapter 5. Look at verse 20 and 21 for me. And we know that the Son of God is come and hath given us an understanding that we may know him that is true, And we are in Him that is true, even in His Son, Jesus Christ. This is the true God and eternal life. Watch this. Little children, keep yourselves from idols. Amen. Now, I just had to look at that and go, John, why did you put that verse at the end? Yes, God is the one true God, and then he says, little children, keep yourself from idols. You know what I believe he's saying? One thing I know that is tied in here is that he just said the one true God is Jesus Christ. And then it's as if he says, keep yourself from all the rest of them. Stay away from all the rest of them. See, we don't think about idolatry like Paul had to handle. Remember when Paul was on Mars Hill and all those Athens and stuff, they've got all their idols, and they said, oh, you know, Paul said, as I was walking by, I passed by, and there's an inscription that read, to the unknown God. They were so afraid they weren't going to worship the right God or something. I mean, you know, if you were afraid that everything that moved was a god, man, I better pray to the sun in case it doesn't shine. Boy, I better pray to the, you know what I'm saying? If you didn't know God like you do now, it doesn't surprise me that the Indians say, you know, Great Spirit is angry because we're sick. We better pray to the Great Spirit so we're not sick. And then, oh man, it's hot out here, so we better pray to the great sun god so he doesn't burn us so much. And to us in America, that sounds totally ridiculous, doesn't it? But these people in the New Testament that Paul was dealing with, you remember Diana of the Ephesians? And the image which fell down from Jupiter? That sounds insane. But it's in your Bible. It's in your Bible. They said, well, who doesn't know about this great goddess of Diana and how this image fell down from Jupiter? And for a long period of time, for all cried with one voice for the space of about 3 hours, saying, great is Diana of the Ephesians. I'm sitting here reading this going, well, if he's so great or she's so great, why don't you leave her alone and let her do something about it? Because she can't. And those kind of idols, they were very bad. Even, you know, 1st and 2nd Kings, and the people did that which was right in their own eyes. And they get a king that would follow after God, and then they didn't have a king that followed after God. And the next thing you know, it's a spiritual mess of a roller coaster with the children of Israel going, oh, look, let's serve Baal. Oh, no, let's go over here to the groves. Oh, let's put our kids through the fire. Oh, it's a mess. And we can look at that. And we can say, that's ridiculous. Agreed? That's just crazy. Brother Guy, isn't that crazy to have that many gods and not know if any of them can do anything? But that's not what God said when he said, Son of Man, there are men of Israel who have set up idols in their hearts. Keep thy heart with all diligence, the Bible said. For out of it are what? The issues of life. Right? Second Corinthians chapter 10. Second Corinthians chapter 10. Now I, Paul, myself beseech you by the meekness and gentleness of Christ, who in presence am base among you, but being absent am bold toward you. But I beseech you that I may not be bold when I am present with that confidence wherewith I think to be bold against some which think of us as if we walked according to the flesh. For though we walk in the flesh, we do not war after the flesh. For the weapons of our warfare are not carnal, but mighty through God to the pulling down of strongholds. Casting down imagination and every high thing that exalteth itself against the knowledge of God, and bringing into captivity every thought to the obedience of Christ, and having in a readiness to revenge all disobedience when your obedience is fulfilled. Now, we don't wrestle flesh and blood. Our enemy isn't someone you can just go take an M16 to and obliterate. Right? Our weapons of our warfare, they're not carnal weapons. But they're mighty to the pulling down of strongholds. Well, you know what a stronghold is? I mean, I think of a fortress, right? I mean, something impenetrable. But a stronghold can also be something that I've let in my life that I can't get rid of. Right? Why do you think the Bible says neither give place to the devil? You know? Something I have given that time or that place, or, you know, this sermon is kind of hard for me. But if there's something in my life that is controlling me and I'm not controlling that, whatever it is, that's not right. God did not expect me as His child to set up idols in my heart. God does not expect me to be that way. You know what He expects from me? Obedience. Idols of the heart. You know, I don't have to preach against known sin and known things and start naming, you know. Back in the day, 20 years ago, or even before, seemed like 25, 30 years ago, they would preach, oh, you shouldn't smoke, and you shouldn't drink, and you shouldn't do this, and you shouldn't do that. And I'm not saying don't preach that, but I've got news for you. I know where my shortcomings are. Huh? You don't have to tell me where I fall short. I already know. There was a day when I knew better than to touch a Mountain Dew. Mountain Dew's got so much sugar and caffeine in it that you can drive all the way from Salt Lake City to Kansas City and never stop outside of buying fuel. It's an addiction. Caffeine is the only drug that independent Baptists don't preach against. If we did, we'd have to drink decaf coffee and decaf Dr. Pepper, which wouldn't hurt any of us, but I'm going to tell you a story. When I was a teenager, I drank 2 32-ounce Mountain Dews a day. Tasty. But when it gets to the point that you finish the first 32, which doesn't have much ice in it because the less ice you have, the more soda you have, and you finish that, and then you got to turn around and get in your car and drive 3 miles to the nearest gas station and buy a second one in the same day. I'm not controlling the Mountain Dew. It's controlling me. Huh? Say, well, good grief, it's only Mountain Dew. It's not like you were drunk. Well, 2.5 days later, after I quit drinking it, I still had a migraine. My body was like, hey, where'd all that caffeine go? I was using that stuff. Well, Brother Cooper, that's not like being on drugs. It doesn't matter. You know, I was sitting there and the Holy Spirit said, hey, boy, you're no different than a drunk. The only difference is you don't hurt people and you remember what you do on the weekends. But other than that, you're still drinking way too much Mountain Dew. Now, you might think I'm being funny, but I'm not kidding you. I quit for a very long time until I could buy one Mountain Dew and control it. We've got so many things in our lives that are taking the places of what God would have us to be and what God would have us to do. And we live in a busy world, do we not? I mean, we're tweeting or we're texting or we're, you know, YouTubing or we're Facebooking or we're Googling or we're somethinging. I mean, we're doing all kinds of things. And we're supposed to be driving but not doing all the other ing things that we were talking about. Hey, have you ever had the time in your life when your mama wants your attention and you're busy doing something and she said, hey, knock it off and listen? My dad used to say, straighten up and fly right. If we are God's children, and we are, then should we not give him first place in our life? Look at John 15. I'm trying to tie this together for you. I want to re-crack this sermon open, brother guy, and get some more scripture in the New Testament to go with it. But John chapter 15 said, I am the true vine. This is Jesus talking. And my Father is the husbandman. Every branch in me that beareth not fruit, he taketh away, and every branch that beareth fruit, he purgeth it, that it may bring forth more fruit. You know what I'm talking about? I'm talking about letting God prune the junk out of our lives that we've set up in our hearts and that we have decided, hey, I don't mind being entangled. We're not supposed to be, you know, this world is not our home, folks. Love not the world is still in the book, neither the things that are in the world, right? The lust of the eyes and the pride of life, all this stuff, it's not of God, it's of the world. Jesus said, I am the true vine. And I have to stop and say, well, if he took the time to say, I am the true vine, there must be an untrue vine. Yeah, there's a lot of religions out there think they know how they're going to get to heaven. And my Father is the husbandman. Look, I believe with all my heart that Jesus Christ should be in full control of my life. At any point in time that I say no to him and yes to something else in my life, it is as if I took and put that idol in my heart. I'm going to stop. Try to stop thinking because verses keep coming, brother guy. But if we ran to Revelation, and I'm not even sure exactly. Let's see. Well, I can't think about where it's at, but it says, behold, I stand at the door and knock. Anybody know where that's exactly at tonight? I am looking right at it, but not reading it. It's right here. Well, that's good. Thank you. Behold, I stand at the door and knock. If any man hear my voice and open the door, I will come in to him and will sub with him, and he with me. To him that overcometh, will I grant to sit with me in my throne, even as I also overcame and am set down with my Father in his throne. And he that hath an ear, let him hear what the Spirit saith unto," what's the last word? Churches. Very simplistically and quickly, this is written to saved believers, church. You can't be a church if you're not saved. Amen? Now, that being said, if ecclesia is a saved, baptized, you know, join the church, that's the church, right? If that's what that is, then what he is saying here is not a come to me and get saved type of message. I've heard that, but that's not what he's talking about. It's not there. You know what it is? It's him standing outside of his church saying, "I want to fellowship with you. Can you unlock the door? Can you let me in? I want to sup with you. I want to fellowship with you. I want to be a part of what you're doing." This isn't written to lost folks. Otherwise, he wouldn't say, "Hear what the Spirit saith unto the churches," because you can't be lost and be a church. Amen? And don't get upset with me, but I believe with all my heart, sometimes we are doing what we're supposed to be doing, and Jesus is sitting outside saying, "Hey, yeah, you're supposed to be doing that, but I'm supposed to be fellowshipping with you." It would be as if the pastor formed a church and everybody's meeting for church, but then they wouldn't let the pastor in. Doesn't that just seem weird? Strange? God saved us. If you've accepted Christ as your Savior, you're a born-again child of God. If you've been baptized and added to a local church, you're part of the church. But so many times, if we're not careful, we get wrapped up and busy, you know why he gave this here? Because there was a church doing church, but he wanted to get in. We've got so much stuff, and if I was in junior camp or youth camp, I would have took a cup and I would have tried to shove some ping pong balls in it, if you will, and then pretend that this liquid that I was going to pour in was things of the world. You can do this either way you want to. You can say, "Well, you know, there it is," and you pour that water in and all the balls are just going to go everywhere, right? You can't fit ping pong balls in and pour liquid in the same cup. The ping pong balls are leaving, right? Well, we cannot put idols in our hearts and try to cram God in our busy schedule just anywhere he goes, because he's supposed to be our schedule. Say, "Well, you don't understand. I have to work a job." I have too. I've worked two jobs at the same time while trying to help keep a church alive. That'll wear you out. It crashed my body, and I'm not even kidding you. I know what it's like to have to get up at 6 to be processing frozen chicken at 7 o'clock in the morning. I know what it's like to go change motel rooms and clean up stuff I don't even want to tell you about in the motels. I've worked out there, folks. I have. But if you think I would sacrifice my cup of coffee and my Bible study in the morning to go work a job, no, can't. I can't. How do I put on the whole armor of God if I got so much junk on, brother guy, that I can't get the uniform on? Put on the whole armor of God, that ye may be able to stand against the wiles of the devil. And having done all to stand, there's a whole list there. Galatians 6. You know, how many of you ever bought a container or a box and you thought it was the right size, or you bought something that you thought, you know, oh, you're at a thrift store, whatever, you go, wait, I've got one of those, and I need that attachment. I need that piece because it broke, and you bring it home and it doesn't fit. Anybody ever do that, or is it just me? Or, ladies, you've cooked a bunch of food, and you go, yeah, hand me that bowl right there. Yeah, everything will fit right in that bowl right there. And you take down that bowl, and you're putting in the potatoes, and all of a sudden, there's still more potato. Oh, this doesn't fit. So then you end up with two bowls in the refrigerator because that one bowl was the wrong size, okay? Fixing to have Thanksgiving, you're going to know exactly what I mean here pretty soon. And you know what happens? Then the refrigerator gets so full, then all of a sudden the milk gets shoved all the way back to the back of the fridge, and the fridge was running, and the thing froze. Anybody ever been there? I was going to have cereal before I went to work, and now the milk is frozen. I ain't got time for that. So then you skip your breakfast or whatever. Or I'll get something out and spend $20 on a $2 meal. That's what it feels like out here. I'm from Missouri. Things are cheaper there. And then, you know, why is it? You ever open that fridge and go, what is that? That's that milk that got shoved in the back of the, and it froze and the lid popped off of it. You all call that cottage cheese. I wouldn't eat the stuff, amen. You know, it's like sourdough pizza. Why would I want anything sourdough? That means it's half bad when you cooked it. I don't know. I'm funning with you. But the facts are, our fridge gets full, and then things start smelling bad, and the thing doesn't operate because it doesn't have room. And the next thing you know, our life is like a refrigerator, so full of stuff we thought we needed to keep, and so full of stuff we thought we'd get to later. And I wonder if God don't open up this refrigerator and go, oh, yeah, disgusting. Listen, nobody in here, my brother did this illustration just weeks ago, a month ago, nobody in here, well, he didn't do all of it, but nobody in here would mix all of the things for cookie dough chocolate chip cookies, put dog manure in it, and then make it and eat it. Nobody, unless you're just totally weird. I've been in some youth camps. I think some kids would do it just because I said they wouldn't. You're like, Brother Cooper, that's dumb. Wouldn't we agree? That's dumb. Well, you know, Brother Cooper, it probably wouldn't even taste it. I don't care. You're not getting me anywhere near the stuff. But we do that in our Christian life, folks. We're not careful. If we're not careful, we'll get so full of stuff. And I understand the bills have to be paid, and the mortgage people don't wait, and the rent people don't wait, and the car dealership doesn't wait, and the lights have to be paid. I understand. But what I don't understand is when I don't let God be a part of taking care of all that. We talked about being real this morning. And this is kind of an offshoot of that. But I would so much rather have God in the center of my life than on the outside trying to get in. And when I look at Revelation like that, where he's knocking on the door of a saved, born-again child of God, saying, any man that hears my voice and opens the door, I'll come into him and sup with him and he with me. He said similar things in John 15 where we were. Abide in me and I in you. And the abiding in him is him saving us. Him abiding in us is him working through us. And the Holy Spirit, and it's a great passage. I had to change out a commode last week. For all you young people, that's a toilet. For all you people in Arkansas, it's a toilet. All right? But Brother Guy, somebody put something in there we couldn't get out. Some little old glass bottle of some kind got thrown down in there. And instead of messing with it and fooling around with it, I actually unbolted the whole thing, took it out, and put in a brand new toilet for that church. I didn't pay for the toilet. I just give them free labor. But that toilet was useless. Couldn't do anything with it. And believe you me, when you've been in a church service for an hour and a half or less, you need to go to the restroom. Amen? And sometimes I think my life is kind of like that. It's nasty, it's dirty, it stinks, and I've put so much junk into it, it's useless. Except one thing. The grace and the mercy of God, that when I'm willing to confess and ask for help, when I'm willing to say, God, I'm so full of junk. God, I've got so much baggage. God, I've got all this stuff. And He already knows you got it. You know what we need to do sometimes? We need to go home like the prodigal son and tell God we're sorry for what we've been up to, and tell God, hey, I'm not worthy. I want to be your servant. And don't be surprised if God don't forgive you, because He already said that He would. If we confess our sins, He is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. I say, well, Brother Cooper, you just don't know me. You don't know what I've done, what I've got into, what I used to do. God knows. I don't need to know. I don't need to know. I'll talk to anybody that wants to talk to me. I'll pray with anybody that wants me to pray with them. I'll try to help them as much as I can. That's what we're in the ministry for, is to help people. But until said people decide that they've had enough of the junk of the world and they've had enough stuff and idols and things in their heart, so to speak, and they remove... I can't go into your house. I wouldn't go to your house and go, oh, this is sin. Oh, that is sin. Oh, no. No. Because what I might think is wrong for me may not be wrong for you. And reverse could be true. And you have to let the Holy Spirit lead you and guide you. And you have to be sensitive to Him. And you have to let Him do all of this work in your life. Because if one man does another man's work in the life, you know what it was? It was the work of man. And it doesn't work and it won't stick. I think sometimes we just need to say, Lord, forgive me and help me start over. How's the condition of your heart tonight? Lord, I pray that this has been some help to some people tonight. And Father, I pray that they would know that my wife and I, we care about them, we love them. We want to see them grow. We want to see the church grow. We want to see You, dear Lord, do multiple wonderful things through this church. And Lord, we thank You for the small part we might get to play in that. But Lord, as the song says, search me, O God, and know my heart today. Lord, I pray that we would just be honest about the things that we've led in our lives, and some of them they've creeped in, seems like, and most of them we've just put there on purpose. Lord, and give us the desire and the will to remove those things. And Lord, let us get an accountability partner, someone we can trust, Lord, that would help us. Lord, we thank You for this time we've had in Your house. In Jesus' name,